You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Oh, I knew this would happen. I tipped this. I knew the doc was going to ring in before we got the podcast. Hello, everything's happening.
Oh, Jesus. All right, hang on. Now I've got him.
Stay
on there. Yep, just stay.
Is anyone on the line?
What they're doing there?
Is Doc on? Doc's on.
Yeah, I'm here.
And
what? I'm here.
Is Don on?
Don should be on.
Don.
Yes, I am on.
That's extraordinary.
Oh, you're kidding me, aren't you? What, he's on a phone line. Can I just get a full roll call? Sam, can you tell me everyone who's involved in the podcast today?
Right, well, it's me. And then Fiona Byrne, Phoebe, she's got laryngitis. Ivan is over sending coal over to China.
I haven't asked you who's not involved. I said who is involved physically in the podcast today?
Myself, Max, and Don, who's lying on his ass down in his hovel.
He said physically.
He's physically?
Yeah.
Well, it's just me and Max. Max and
you
I.
You and Max. And Don is phoning it in, is he? Because he's unwell.
He's hungover. Tell the doc what's wrong with you, Don.
Oh, I've got a bad taste of Jagger's back, Doc. What can I do for it?
Well, I'd reduce the shagging. There's probably the issue that you need to address, but I can't imagine there'd be too many people wanting to shag you, so that's the confusing part of the situation. But are you lying on your back at the moment, are you?
Doc, the horses get a fair run. They get a fair ride.
Now listen, Sam, how is this going to work? So what, you got me on the blower, you got Don on the blower. Who is driving the bus? Max, is it going to be you?
No, Max, I'm sitting here trying to find out if you've got anything that you can tell Don, or Don wants to ask you something. I want to ask you something. For a start, Doc, you might know a bloke called Michael Christian. He was a menswear. He has taken on himself to make a whole lot of caps with You Cannot Be Serious, you know, those.
Yeah, I want one.
Well, he's going to market them, and this is. Do you think we'd have a market for them? You Cannot Be Serious shirts and caps, rather. And then he said, "Did we want names put on the side of them?" Don said, "I don't want my name put on the side of it." And I said, "Well, all right, Don. Well, that's all right. Then you wouldn't want Doc. You wouldn't want Doc Fordham put on the side of it, would you?"
No, I think it's more a case that I think you wanted. You just want the You Can't Be Serious. I mean, that way it can.
You
it
cannot
can mean
be
anything.
Serious.
You cannot be serious. It applies to everyone and anything. And I think those who know what the podcast is and fans of the podcast know it's for the podcast. And it means that, you know, commercially you can also sell it to people outside of the podcast, because it's just got a great line on it that we associate with the legend John McEnroe. So I don't think you need anything else apart from You Cannot Be Serious.
We just need to get the MAGA colour and the MAGA font out of it. Maybe give us some colourways.
Oh, the MAGA. We'll stick with the MAGA font and the MAGA colour. That's going gangbusters over in America. The sage advice of the doc. So we just have You Cannot Be Serious. Yes, go ahead.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
This involves Cameron Smith, the fantastic Australian golfer.
Yes.
And I don't know whether you've discussed this, because I've been listening to most of the podcast, but he's now joined up with this Saudi-backed LIV Golf Series,
yes,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So they reckon he's guaranteed himself a $140 million payday. But there is a feeling that, you know, well, he's taken the money and he's running. The money's coming from a brutal regime, the Saudi regime. But I really like some comments that the businessman Mark Burris has made this week, where he said, look, you've got to keep in mind, we're all out to look after ourselves and look after our family. And if this guy's being offered a $140 million check, as much as we may not appreciate the Saudi regime and some of the brutal things they've done to people, it's not like Cameron Smith is involving himself in any of those activities. He just wants to play golf. So is there anything wrong with taking the money, or do you need to analyse the source of the money and decide, I'm not going to be a party to this if the money's coming from the brutal Saudi regime? Sam.
You could apply that to any company anywhere around the world if you want to use that criteria for not dealing with someone. As Greg Norman said, of the 46 sponsors that sponsor the PGA Tour in America, 28 of them come from those brutal regimes that they endorse their product. So it is an absolute furphy to say all that. You can say that about any company. It's like buying electric vehicles. It's like using fossil fuels. It's like using whatever. Mm. You can use that analogy for anything if you want to and say, oh, we're not dealing with you because you drive a car that runs fossil fuel. It is an absolute nonsense.
Look at Nike.
This is, well, look at all the shoe, McDonald's, great shoe manufacturers. Yeah. They use underage labour and in sweatshop conditions. Labor. What do they
Yeah, I mean, it's $140 million. It's a lot of money to say no to, isn't it, Don?
It's 160 as well.
160?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Don?
What would you do, Don?
Take the money and run.
You can't run. You got a bad back, mate.
And don't forget, Doc, that that's just to sign on. Then they play for a purse of $20 million every tournament.
Mm.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I think I'd be taking the money and thinking about my future, my wife's future, and my children's future. But
there was
it's one of those ethical dilemmas, as they call it.
There's a man called Harold Varner the Third. He is a, I think he's, I'm not sure if he's an African-American, but he's a golfer of colour. And he said he's been invited, and he said he is joining purely because it gives him a chance to fund his charity. He has a fantastic charity, which is for the promotion of underprivileged people to start playing golf. And he said this will put his charity on the map even in bigger circumstances. So that's why he joined.
But interesting, Max, Tiger Woods said no. As our sports bloke, have you got a theory on why Tiger Woods would have said no with all that money on the line, considering everyone else found a way of saying yes?
Probably because he was the highest paid in his profession for the amount of years that he's been in it, and his ailing body and everything. He probably just wants to hold his reputation in the PGA and all the accolades that come with it and post-career. It makes sense for him to say no. He's already well set up.
Unbeknownst to Max, Doc, he has stumbled on exactly the reason I believe Tiger Woods didn't join, because it devalues his 18 majors, if it's you like. It devalues all the majors that he's won. If the PGA becomes a lesser competition, it devalues the majors that he's won. So he would not curry favour with it at all. And all the people who have got majors to their credit would think that they will be insignificant if this tour takes off and becomes the supreme tour in the world.
Yeah.
Now, listen. Have you caught up with the news that the one and only Tracy Grimshaw is leaving a current affair at the end of the year? She's been in the host chair for a long, long time.
Prior to that,
she was one of the hosts of the Today Show, but she's pulling the pin at the end of the year. So Channel 9 is currently trying to work out what to do. So I know, Don, that you watch a lot of TV. You've always got opinions when it comes to these things. So if you were put on the spot and 9 said, you're righto, Don, we need to know from you, who do we put in there to host a current affair? Who are you putting in as Tracy's replacement?
Brooke Boney.
Brooke Boney from Today Show. Sam? Yeah.
I'd put your good self in, Doc. Or is that a step down?
Oh, no, it's not a step down. No, it's primetime TV, but I've got other things going on at the moment. What about you, Mac?
You could juggle them.
I know the perfect person for it, considering he's already there and he does a fantastic job and he's well-versed. His name's Seb Costello.
Seb Costello, very talented bloke. I like Seb Costello. The front runners, according to people in the media who write about television, the front runners are Carl Stefanovic, Georgie Gardner, Deborah Knight, and Sylvia Jeffries, according to those who write about these things. So it looks like there are a lot of women who are being put forward as the potential replacement for Tracy, and that, I suppose, makes sense because you're replacing a woman with a woman, and there are a lot of male newsreaders out there. So it's good to have a male newsreader and then go to the female host of the show that comes after a current affair. But Yeah, they've got a bit of a dilemma on their hands. And should we be approaching Tracy Grimshaw to join the podcast next year?
Oh, my Lord.
Well, we could talk horses. Tracy and I have got something in common.
Yeah.
She's a horse lady.
She loves her horses. Pity she didn't play football for Hawthorne, Don. You could have spoken to her about the two great loves of your life that you know fuck all else about. And now, so the meritocracy wouldn't be in play here, Doc, would it? It'd be just, we'd tick all the boxes. We'd just get a woman replaced with a woman.
No, it's not about that. But, I mean, there's an element there of a lot of women who are capable of doing it and talented. And it just so happens the shortlist has got a heap of women on it and not too many blokes. So I think male...
Hang on. You're not being a little bit sneaky here, and you're not promoting yourself through this podcast to be the host.
Oh, my God. Did you not listen to the man?
Well, no, I quite like this. I like conspiracy theories. And Don, that's not a bad one. So, in other words, what you're suggesting is that I would like my name added to the shortlist.
Well,
The way that I've done that is by raising the issue on this podcast. No,
well, as you would know, Doc, unsolicited, I didn't know you were going to ask me that. That's the first person I thought would be good to do it, and that would be you. And I don't know why you can't juggle all the other crap you're doing. I mean, why can't you juggle that?
Oh, well, because I've got a challenge on my hands here at the moment with a breakfast show, which is only 2 years old, and I'll tell you one of the reasons. When I took over the breakfast show from Alan Jones on 2GB,
yes,
when we won the first ratings, the boss gave me a bottle of Penfold's Grange.
Yes.
However, he explained that I'm only allowed to open it when we win 100 rating surveys. Right.
Mm.
So it is currently sitting in my cupboard at home.
What, a $1,500?
Yeah, I've got to get to 100 ratings wins before I'm allowed to open the bottle of Grange. So that's years away. So
yeah, you're just sticking to the goon for the time being, are you, Doc?
Yeah, I'm just sticking to whatever I can get my hands on in the meantime.
If you became the host of current affair, took over from Tracy, then you and the bride and the kids, you could set yourself up in a condo over in the Seychelles or in the Bahamas. You could just fly around the world. You'd have that much cabbage, you wouldn't know what to do with it.
Hey, I've got some breaking news for you, Sam. Radio pays more than TV.
Oh.
Breaking news.
Okay, so
did you know that? I'll tell you when I realised that. I'll tell you the moment that I realised that. It was many, many, many years ago when it was announced that Eddie Maguire was going to be hosting a radio show on Triple M in Melbourne. That was the moment when I went, well, it's now official. You know, radio, you've got a potential to earn a lot of money in radio, and the reason why is because the hosts actually read the ads, and there's a lot more crossover between, you know, your commercial partners on radio and the hosts. Oh, and that's why if you have a look at most people on TV, most of them have got a radio gig as well because radio pays really well. I'm not suggesting that I get paid more here doing the breakfast show on 2GB than what Tracy Grimshaw would on A Current Affair.
I think you are suggesting that, Doc.
No. What I'm just suggesting is that once upon a time, when I started out in this industry, say 25 years ago, if you wanted to earn the big bucks, you had to go to TV. Well, that's well and truly changed. The highest paid people in the media business in recent years would be radio people. And I can tell you the guy who used to host the show before me on 2GB was for many years the highest paid person in the media in Australia, which
Alan
was
Jones.
Alan Jones.
Yep.
Ray Hadley doesn't do too badly right behind him.
John
I get
Laws.
Nothing like what they get. Lawsy, I'm sure, wouldn't be doing it for a cheap fee either. So, look, It's one of these things. I'm very happy doing what I'm doing, and no one's even suggested that I should be doing a current affair. I feel like I want to try and nail the job that I'm currently undertaking.
Doc, you've nailed that with spades. Now, Doc, it's the shortlist. Is there a trans person or a person of colour on the shortlist to host current affair?
Well, jeez, there could be, because I wouldn't know the preferences of all of the people on the shortlist.
So that's not the main concern.
The main concern is just finding the right person to host the show. I'm sure that they will figure that out.
I don't believe that. I think you're not saying that with a straight face.
Sam, let me explain. At Channel 9, this is a commercial business. This is not the ABC. Channel 9 wants the best person hosting a current affair at 7 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Of course they do.
That's why they don't care. They don't care where the person comes from, what they get up to in their spare time, what size shoe they wear. They just want the person who's going to be best at hosting the show.
I don't believe that to be right, Doc.
Well, I do.
Well, that's all right. But I'd say all those things would come into consideration for the kickback or the pushback they'd get from all the analysts. And if you go on that scenario, have a look at what's going on in the football and sport and everything. If you think the best people are commentating on sport and their credentials and their credibility is at the fore, then that is nonsense. It's not a meritocracy, it's a numbers game.
Let me ask you,
yes.
While we're talking about people commentating on sport, Max, can you just explain to me what's happened with Wayne Carey?
We've already done this, Doc. I'm sorry. And Dad's giving me a strict pull to the ear and told me not to say any more.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't.
All right. Well, listen, let me ask you then, Sam. You've already discussed it, so let me ask you, Sam.
Yep.
What do you believe the substance was that was inside the bag that fell out of Wayne Carey's pocket and landed on the gambling table?
No, it's a very good question, Doc. If he says that he's crushed up some anti-inflammatory tablets and put them in a bag and takes them to a casino and dips into them every now and again to overcome his pain of his legs and his arthritis and what, if he says that, well, that's what he says. If someone wants to test what's in the bag and it finds out not to be anti-inflammatories, my point is, just say it's recreational drugs. Why don't we give him the same leniency that we give all the people who play sport, all the people who are actors, all the people who are in the media, all the entertainers who might get charged every now and again with taking recreational drugs? I know he's lost all his jobs. The AFL have going to investigate it. Why don't they do what they do to all the AFL players who take recreational drugs? Give them the benefit of the doubt, counsel them, send them to rehab. Why don't they do that with Wayne Carey? Why doesn't someone reach out to him and say, Wayne, are you having problems? Why are you taking drugs? Have you got depression? How are you going? Why they just throw him on the scrap heap?
Well, I think there's a few points that jumped out at me on this one. One is, according to Wayne Carey, he had actually said to security, look, you can take it if you want. Now, that would suggest someone who was pretty confident that whatever was in the bag was not illegal.
No.
On the other side of the coin, I can't work out when the hotel called him and said, you've got to vacate the room. Why didn't he say to them, no, I'm not leaving the hotel. I'm not leaving the precinct. I've done nothing wrong. I don't understand why he didn't stand his ground if there was nothing in the bag that was illegal.
That's correct. He's found guilty before he's proven innocent.
But
also, as you point out, if people test positive as AFL players, well, we don't find out about it, right? They have a strikes policy that they undertake. So He will be back in his commentary roles within 2 weeks.
Doc, I don't know if you've got a private security license, but there are rules and regulations with every license, and one of those ones is, and when you work for a nightclub or casino or anything like that, a very common, because that was one of my first thoughts as well, a very common rule is you're not allowed to confiscate or hold on to any
contraband
or anything like that. So that is the reason why they refuse to take it, because they cannot hold on to it in the event that it goes missing or that they are caught with it.
What do you make of it? The word I was trying to think of was the quota system rather than the meritocracy about...
Look, it's obviously a bad look, but sometimes things look bad that aren't bad. I think that in the absence of evidence of what was inside the bag, I think you've probably got to take his word for it. And I also understand what you're saying, which is, well, you've got a strikes policy if you're playing the game, so why would it be different if you're commentating on the game? I reckon he'll be back.
I think he's got a fair few strikes, let's be honest. Come on.
Yeah, look, I know he does. I'm not an expert on it, which is why
He hasn't had any strikes. Well, we're not experts, Doc, but he hasn't had any strikes while he's been playing football. He's a member of the public, and he's a civilian, and there's the majority of civilians are doing what everyone is accusing Wayne of doing.
For the fourth or fifth time, he's been stood down. He hasn't been fired.
A long, 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 long time ago, he shagged someone else's wife.
I'm not sure that he actually had penetration, did he?
Yes. What are you talking about?
Did he? I thought he just upended her in the latrines. I'm not sure about that.
What are you on about?
Oh, did he? Did
yes.
he
now, listen.
All right. He did.
You
he shagged
understand
her in,
that word?
Yeah.
Let me ask Don. Hey, Don, have you ever been with another man's
wife?
Is that
what you're trying to get off your technicalities?
What? Going
Don. On? Don, have you ever been with another man's wife?
Yeah.
Don't beat around the bush, Don. Come out straight.
That's exactly what he did. He beat right around the bush.
Who?
Now, Doc, can I ask you...
Who, Don?
Who?
Who?
Doc, can I ask
not
you...
Anyone I was married to. Not anyone who? I was married to, was it?
No, it was one of your casts off a handball you gave me.
Beg your pardon?
Doc, I watched the ABC and you mentioned it earlier, and what's irritating, I'm non-political, but I don't think this ABC is a true representation of Australia.
Oh,
why
really?
Is that?
Because they're left wing.
Well, have you got an example for me, or is this just some blanket statement you made?
You get different news items. What frustrates me is that you get some items that are covered by the ABC, yet not covered by the commercial station and Vicky Burka. They've got an inclination one particular way, and I there's got to be a marrying of both views.
No, you don't want a marrying of the different approaches, because you want the diversity where you're able to say, you know what, I really like watching Nine News or 10 News or 7 News or Fox or CNN or the ABC or CBS, and you make up your own mind about what you want to watch. I mean, the ABC's got its own reasons for doing what it wants to do, but it's our money
that is funding the ABC, and it's not representing...
Well, that's true. I mean, you're right. Politically speaking, it's not representative because it's left-leaning and they don't have conservative voices on the ABC to balance it up. And that's what they should have. Yeah. They should have more conservative commentators on there, which would enable them to silence a lot of their critics, because they'd be able to say, yes, we've got this person, but we've also got Andrew Bolt.
Doc,
that would make a big difference.
That's exactly what Don's saying, Doc. If it's our money,
which is why I'm agreeing with him.
Well, yeah, but you didn't. You said they can do what they like. They shouldn't be able to do what they like. Didn't the woman, the lady, the very capable person that used to be on Nine? What's her name? Came head of the ABC. God, why did I kind of think of her? Wasn't she put on there to try and actually give some?
Sorry. Just to clarify what I was saying. I was saying we don't want to see the same stories on the same channels at the same time. When it comes to political diversity, diversity of political opinions, that is certainly something the ABC should do. It's in their charter. They should be representing all views, all opinions, all walks of life.
Yes.
And it's something they've failed to do time and time again. Now, listen, can I make one suggestion to you guys before I go? Because I've got to go and do something.
I've got two quick things. Go on.
Okay, but I've got a guest idea for someone you can have on the podcast.
Good.
There's a girl in America. Her name is Naya Okami. She's 28.
Oh, yeah.
And she identifies as a wolf. She has identified as a wolf from the age of 10. And she's been interviewed on news.com.au this week, and she even does a...
That's very good,
I think
good,
you should
dog.
Get the wolf girl on the podcast.
Oh, from America.
Shit, dog. Are you... Is that you doing that, or is that a tape?
No, of course it's him.
It's me.
That's extraordinary, Doc. I reckon you... I tell you what, you might be able to cross-pollinate with the wolf girl. Now, Doc, I want to ask you... Doc, I want to quickly ask you this. Have you got caught up in the climate debate, the nonsense that's going on about electric vehicles and carbon emissions? They said... Listen to this. They said scientists have said there's a thing called zombie ice, which is the melting of the Greenland glaciers. And they said, what's 25 centimetres? How high is that? Do you know, in inches? Do you know what 25 centimetres is? I don't, this is a genuine question. I don't
about
know.
11 inches.
11 inches?
I think so.
Oh.
They the rule is 12, just from general knowledge of, yeah.
25 centimetres.
Oh. 30 centimetres is 12 inches, so I'm assuming that 25 would be all about 10 and a half
well,
or
11. Well, they said that that's going to increase increase the sea level by the year 22100, and in 80 years, it's going to increase it by 25 centimetres. Do you think we've got... This is absolute nonsense, this debate about electric vehicles. They do more damage to the environment, electric vehicles. They do more damage than properly regulated, fuel-efficient, carbon emission-efficient cars do.
Well, look, I'll just say, on electric vehicles, I'll just say this. 1% of cars sold in Australia are electric. Sometimes it's 2%, but on average over the last few years, it's been 1%. They want to try and get that to 100%. So good luck with that, because at the moment it's at 1%. The cost rules most people out of it. The batteries are produced in factories in Asia that use coal to fire up the factories.
Quite
there is
right.
now an argument coming out of the UK where they say because of rising power prices in the UK,
can't charge your cars up.
Yeah, that's right. They're saying to people, look, you know, within a month or so, they've added up the numbers and said it's going to be cheaper to run your petrol car than your electric car within a month or so. And one of the reasons people were told to go electric is once you bought it, the running costs are lower because you don't have to pay for the petrol. We're also told about the batteries, that the batteries work better in warmer conditions. So if you're traveling in areas where it's cold, that zaps the batteries. And there are even electric vehicle groups now saying that if you're building a house, put a heater in your garage because that'll be better for the battery inside the electric vehicle if the garage is heated. Of course, to turn the heater on, you've got to use more coal and more gas to have the heater on. And there's a bloke called Warren Brown, who's a cartoonist for the Daily Telegraph. He had to drive to the bush in New South Wales last week for work. He had to stop 3 times along the way to recharge the battery, just to do a standard trip that you do in one go in a petrol vehicle. And he says the problem is you turn up to the next town and if someone's in front of you, they're filling up for half an hour before you. So we've got a long way to go.
One
a
of
long,
the
long
greatest hoaxes perpetrated on a sophisticated society that you'll ever see. It'll never happen. We'll have fossil fuels for the next 30 or 40 years, and rightly so, because our standard of living will retain and remain what it is rather than going back into an anachronistic age.
Well, I'm glad you got that off your chest. And I've only got one more thing to say.
Cock, you idiot. Doc, good on you. Thanks for being... Doc,
see you, boys.
Doc. fuck Island. Jesus H. Christ. Right. Righto.
Yeah,
what's
it's just
happened?
Don. Hey, Don.
Is the Doc off?
Doc's off.
Don.
Yes.
Right, Don. Now we're still going here. I'm not sure. Do you want to? Will we stop and do the? Can
you know what I'm just thinking?
I'm sorting out your grand final tickets. So
hang on, Max. Don't worry about my grand. What, Don?
I like that. Don't worry
about
it.
Just came to me as I'm struggling. What are we going to do, Johnny, when we become incapacitated years down the track, you and I?
Put my hand up your ought and work you like a puppet.
That's right. When we come in, well, unless we're in an iron lung at the Repat Centre, Don, we might be able to speak. It's not a visual audio, a visual medium we're on, although Max is trying to work that out. We might, we will cease doing it, Don. We're only, no one cares really. Almost plenty of people care if we do
it. I'm talking about health. Why?
Yes, I know you're talking about health-wise. I knew you were talking about that, Don. Can we give some shout-outs now that the doc's gone?
No.
Well, first of all, now Mick Christian's got these hats coming up, these caps with You Cannot Be Serious. We're going to market these, or he's going to, we're going to sell them. And if you want to buy any of the caps with You Cannot Be Serious, won't have your name on it, or mine, or the doc's, or Max's, or Fifi's, or Phoebe's, or bloody Ivan. It'll just have You Cannot Be Serious. And so we're sending a shout out to Mick Christian, who is over there in Tasmania.
Now, what do I hang on style? Is it a peak cap or a giggle?
It's a baseball cap, you know, the same one that's Max got
the giggle.
No, we're not doing a giggle hat. We're just doing proper hats. I'm sending out a shout-out to... now, you know, I sent out a shout-out to Jeff, and I said he worked for Pride Real Estate. I saw Jeff, and he said, thanks for the shout-out. He said, I don't work for Pride. He said, I work for Barry Plant. And I said, Don made just a light aside saying, was he in the Pride movement? I said, I didn't think Jeff was in the Pride movement, but it wouldn't matter if he was. But he works for Barry Plant. So we're giving a shout-out to Jeff from Barry Plant because he just lives in my tower. And
good
we're giving
on you, Jeff.
And we're giving another shout-out to... now, do you know someone called Kevin and Lorraine, Don?
Oh, I do.
No.
You don't. Well, I'm sending a shout-out to Kevin and Lorraine because they've left for furlough. They've left the city. They've gone up on furlough to far north Queensland. And so they're on their way up there. They listen to the podcast and they quite like... What are you doing that for, Max?
For good.
No, they've gone up on furlough. Do you know what a furlough is? It's
no.
A holiday.
Oh. Why can't you say holiday then, you dick?
Well, furlough is part of the English lexicon, Max, and if you'd gone to a proper school and learnt how to speak, rather than say... and here's right. Another thing, Don. Are you listening?
Yes, I mean, yes.
Remember when we used to say we're sending a cheerio to someone and now we say they're shout-outs? We've become Americanized. It's a bit like... Instead of going to a barbecue, the Americans say we're going to a cookout. Or
different things.
A cookout and a barbecue.
Yeah.
They're different, are they?
Yeah, in different communities. No word of a lie.
What in different communities? They call them different things, but they're the same.
I don't know how to say it without getting in trouble.
No, but a cookout, that's like roasting a spit pig or a pig over a spit. And rolling it in indigenous societies, all that, that's all right. And then they used to say, remember when we say we were going to get some takeaway food, Don? The Americans say we're going to have takeout. Takeout, not takeaway.
And the British just say, going to have beer Chinese.
Yeah. And then some people say contributed instead of contributed. And some people say H instead of H. And some people say Monaco instead of Monaco, which is Monaco is correct, and Caribbean instead of Caribbean, which Caribbean is correct. Isn't it amazing, Don?
Yes, unbelievable. Riveting. This is riveting.
Yeah, I've got a further one. What do you call the country in Europe that has the Eiffel Tower?
France.
It's France, right. A lot of people go France.
France. Do they? Yeah. Don? I got a text from Eddie Maguire, who is over on the other side of the world, who heard and listened to the podcast last week and was intrigued by our discussion with Jeff Kennett. And he said...
In what way? Well, isn't Jeff Kennett joining him on that trip?
What, over the... what? He, Jeff Kennett, do you know...
Aren't they all going to Lindsay Fox's birthday? Got a boat or something?
I don't think Eddie was on Lindsay Fox's boat.
I thought he was the MC.
Well, I see. Well, he might have just stopped on a much bigger and more salubrious boat than Lindsay Fox's, I've got a feeling, because he was over there staying, I think, on one of the very big media moguls who used to run this country, his boat over there, and then maybe he's going to step off that boat and get onto Lindsay's boat and do the emceeing duties. Anyhow, He was listening, and he texted me, and he said, yes, he liked the discussion. He said, but there was a couple of anomalies in the discussion that you and we had with Jeff Kennett, which incidentally was fantastic. He said Collingwood hadn't received their $15 million from the state government as well as Hawthorne. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. No.
Well, that's what he said. I'm just taking it on a face value of what he said. And also he said that Hawthorne had quite a few other favours or had done a few other deals that no other club had done. But so he was very interested in it, and he was listening on the other... I think he was over in the Baltic Sea on Mr Packer's boat.
I was talking about Mr Kenneth. I was interested. He attended Jane Garrett's funeral in Brunswick last, the state funeral, and how he shook the hand of Daniel Andrews as he walked into the funeral. I mean, is that hypocritical?
Hypocritical, Don? Whose hand did he shake?
Daniel Andrews.
Shook whose hand?
Well, they both shook hands.
Jeff Kennett's hand?
Yeah. No, Kennett?
Kennett and Andrews shook hands.
Yeah.
Oh, no, well,
what did
Don,
you want him to do, slap him?
No, Don, we live in a civilised world, mate. I mean, if you can't... No, Don, seriously, if you...
If Andrews walked into the room or was introduced to him, I'd just turn my back on the man.
Well, that's ignorant, Don.
It's not being
it
ignorant.
It is. If you can't have a difference of opinion and think ill of someone when you face up to them and just say that is being civilised, Don. I'm not a great fan, not a fan of Dan Andrews at all, or his government, or his politics, or his way he goes about it. But you wouldn't. There'd be very few people. I couldn't think of anyone else I would not shake hands with. I don't have to get on with them, but they're just to show that you're civil and that there'll be no, there's no... You don't have to worry about any physical... I just think that's reasonable, Don. And they're both premier. They're both ex-premiers. I mean, hell.
What one's football? Current, you think?
Yeah, one's
I said. Oh, well, yes. All right. Yeah, so Don. So if you had a meeting of ex-premiership captains of people that had footballers that had captained premiership sides, and you didn't like someone in particular that you'd played against for some reason, or he dudded you in off the field, or done something, I don't know, maybe whipped your missus out, I don't know. Would you not shake hands with someone? Could you think of someone you'd not shake hands with if you went to a meeting of all the AFL footballers?
Oh, that's a good one. I should think on that.
Is there any person that...
No, I don't know. That's a good point. You've got me on the spot here.
No one.
Because we're a little bit like boxers, aren't we? We're combatants and then we've got respect after the game. But that's a different sphere, isn't it?
But that's right.
With sport,
that hasn't answered the question, to be honest.
No, but that's right, Don.
With sport is a very easy... In a lot of sports, it doesn't matter what you are, it's just you and them. It's a human endeavour that's not usually influenced by money or whatever else or standing in society. So there's a different risk, but hang on, with politics, it's a lot different.
Well, of course it is, but all the prime ministers, Labor and Liberal, they would shake hands with another. They'd go to general meetings. If Kennett had run this state and ran it under a Liberal philosophy, and now he's not happy with the way Dan Andrews is handling things for a whole lot of different reasons.
When Kennett was in power too, he was just dictatorial, very arrogant and confident, and consequently, that's why he lost the unlosable election.
No, he lost the unlosable... No, don't worry.
Yeah, well,
he said he lost the unlosable election from the media, because everyone said he was a shoo-in to win it. That changed the narrative.
That's his thing. But also, as constituents, I think we're proven.
So
up to
many people.
So let me ask like you this. So let me ask you this, Don. Wouldn't you like a premier? And I know you're going to say that this is what the current one does, but don't you want someone who runs something to be actually dictatorial and say, seeing as you're the buck stops with you, how things should run and how things should work?
No, not at all.
Well, Johnny, that's not what the current one does.
You've got to reach a consensus, and that's what democracy is.
That's correct. So once you decide on something, you get out and you make sure that it happens, and you are the spokesman or spokesperson. The only thing with Daniel Andrews' government is that they're so dishonest and corrupt. And as Jeff said last week, he said it's not so much the fact that they'll get in with a leg in the air again. It's the fact that if we put up with the absolute dishonesty and corruption of this government and what they've done over the last 2 or 3 years, then the whole scenario of politics just drifts into the ether, because no standards, there's no integrity, there's no... That's what happens. It gets eroded. The confidence of people in power gets your faith in them gets eroded, and then you think, what's the point of voting for anyone?
It's going to be very interesting, Ian Cook's impact on the electorate of Mulgrave, and also there's another independent standing out there as well. So I think that will be a very good litmus test as to his popularity.
All right, Don. Now here's the dilemma we're faced with now, Don. We've probably only going to have 2 episodes of You Cannot Be Serious today. Well, you're shaking your head.
I've got heaps more sport to talk about.
I just said there's a dilemma.
Sorry.
We're either going to ring off now and do another thing on sport and get you back on the line, Don, or we're going to continue doing the sport with you on the line, or we're just going to finish now. What would you think we should do, seeing as you're running the whole show, Don, from your bed?
Your podcast.
Will we ring off and we'll start again, and we'll come back with whatever it is we've got to do with sport. Will we do that?
No.
Oh, you're pretty busy down there. What are you?
Oh, yes, it's on the back.
Have you pulled yourself out of bed yet?
Literally.
No, I know, Don. That you didn't need to say that. That was the cryptic conversation. You didn't have to say literally. That's why I said it. So will we ring off and we'll come back with sport? Have you got any sport you want to speak about other than the people you've never met that you give shout outs to that play football and netball, or have you got anything else about sport?
Hello? No.
You haven't got it. Did you watch the Grand Prix? Don, we're going to ring you back, will we? Or do you want to finish?
Don, I've got horse. I've actually got a horse topic to talk to you about. So ring off and then ring back.
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because